pick back up over in Romans chapter 14. And again, Paul's been speaking here of the matter of Christian liberty. You know, there's some things that certainly are settled, and there's no question about it. There's some things within the realm of Christians. There's only one right and wrong. I mean, we all understand that, but you know what? We're not always right. And it does us well to remember those things. Not only Christian liberty, but understanding, you know, the prospect of Christian growth. Allowing folks to grow, and at the same time exercising our own humility, recognizing, but for the grace of God, there go we, recognizing that not so long ago, in fact, that's where we were, and that may have well been who we were. And so Paul's been dealing with these matters, and you know, these are things perhaps we're apt not to spend a lot of time on, but Paul spends a great deal of time on. These are things we're apt not to address or think about a lot of times, and that's why, you know, it's a good thing, you know, having to you preach through a book or whatever. I can't skip nothing. I can't decide, no, I don't like to preach that stuff. And you know, you pick up and you have to. And so we all learn. And the preacher probably as much or more than anybody else. Okay, well, Paul's brought us here as he began in verse 1, chapter 14. Says, he that's weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Again, there's a line, there's a demarcation. We're to receive the babe in Christ, the one that's weak in faith, but not to the point, you know, that they would bring heresy or that they would bring apostasy into the church, that they would come in with the idea that, you know, they're going to fix everybody else. But those who come with an attitude or who are at least willing to learn or at least willing to be taught. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him which that eateth. For God hath received him. Important point there again, that if he's indeed a brother, God's received him. And that ought to holds a great amount of stock with us. It ought to. Who art thou, Paul says in verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. And then Paul continues here, where we're up into verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. No man liveth to himself. As I kind of previewed this last week, we said, you know, we don't belong to ourselves. First and foremost, we don't live to ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. Our life is not our own. Now, it's not the state's either, but we're not our own. We belong to another, and because we belong to another, it's not the state's. And Paul's dealt with some of these things as well. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, Paul said this, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? You're not your own. Verse 20, he continues of 1 Corinthians 6. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 5 and verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He writes to the saints in Galatia, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ. He created us, and he redeemed us. Paul continues in verse 20 there in Galatians 2. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So in a very real sense, none of us lives to himself because we belong to another. In conjunction with that, we don't live to ourselves because we have an influence on others. Each of us have an influence upon one another. We have influence upon children and grandchildren, upon co-workers, upon acquaintances. So we don't live to ourselves. You say, well, it don't matter, you know, what I do or how I live. But it affects other folks. In Philippians, Paul writes to the saints there in Philippi. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I what not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ. I mean, sometimes maybe we all get to that point. I know sometimes, Lord, I just soon come on home. Paul says, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, it's needful for those we have an influence upon, for those that we've been set in a position of authority over, to those that we're to be examples to. So we don't live to ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. And it's more needful for us that our lives be an example unto others. Paul writes to young Timothy and our young Titus in Titus 2:14. He says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We don't live to ourselves. Paul, again, felt this obligation, this necessity, this requirement to be an example. He writes to the saints in Philippi in Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. Now, too often, you know, we're apt to tell folks, you know, do what I say and not what I do. And I wish I could live to the point at all times I could tell folks, you know, well, you have me for an example. Well, I wouldn't want to be telling folks that a lot of times. But that ought to be before us. That ought to be our goal. We ought to understand that. We don't live to ourselves because we belong to another. We don't live to ourselves because we influence others. And then Paul, on the other aspect of that, and then he elaborates on some of this, For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And again, this is in the context of understanding, you know, that brother. He doesn't live to himself. He doesn't die to himself. And no man dieth to himself. You know what? All men die. But perhaps it's needful from time to time that we have a reminder of that. I don't know about you, but I'll be honest, it's hard for me to imagine myself in a pine box, you know, or my body in that pine box. I can imagine most of you there if time came, you know, I can think about that. But it's hard to imagine yourself being there. But brethren, you've got to be there. Well, some of you will have some nice stainless steel thing or whatever, but I'll be happy with just a pine box. All men die. We don't live to ourselves, and we don't die to ourselves. And so the first aspect of that is that we're going to die. In Hebrews, Paul says this in Hebrews 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's hard for us to imagine the world without us, isn't it? But it went on before, and it'll go on after, as the Lord wills. Samuel said in 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14, for we must needs die, and thou art as water spilt from the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished shall not be expelled from him. You know, we're like water spilt on the ground. We can't pick it back up again. Job, you know, reflects on that a great deal during some of his sufferings. Job 14, verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Had nobody been able to pay off, you know, what we call a grim reaper or whatever, the death angel. And nobody's been able to pay him off. God is appointed, and there's a bounds beyond which he cannot pass. Doesn't matter how much influence he had, how smart he was, how much money he had. In chapter 30, verse 23, Job says, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. So again, there's that kind of equalizer. Brother, none of us live to ourselves. None of us die to ourselves. All of us live. All of us are going to die. Solomon brings some interesting perspectives in Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is, you have to understand the book when you come to it. Some folks will grab a passage out here or there and make some wrong conclusions. Ecclesiastes, it speaks about under the sun. It's speaking about the human perspective of things. And it truly is the human perspective, but there's some beyond that. And at times, Solomon, you know, goes beyond that, but a good deal of the book of Ecclesiastes is kind of from the human perspective. And from the human perspective, we're all going to die too. Ecclesiastes 3 and 20. Solomon says this, all go unto one place. So, well, no, the spirits go, you know. No, but he's speaking from the human perspective, and he goes on to explain. He says, all go unto one place, all are of dust, and all turn to dust again. The body's going to wither away. We're all of dust, and we're going to be dust again. That's where the body's going. That's universal amongst humanity. And chapter 9 and verse 5, he says this, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Again, from the human perspective, They're gone. That's what we say. Verse 10 of chapter 9, he says this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. So all men know they're going to die. So there's that equal feel, if you will. Now lest Solomon leave you too depressed, he goes beyond that at times, under the inspiration of the Spirit, beyond just simply under the sun. And I'll share this with you that he says in chapter 12 and verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Earlier in this book of Romans, Paul reminded us, Romans 5, verse 12, therefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. So, we don't live to ourselves. We don't die to ourselves. Again, fortunately, blessedly, for the Christian, he only dies temporally. He only dies physically. Now, for the God denier, you know, that seems pretty bad, because that's all he thinks there is. But we know there's more. He dies only physically, he dies only temporally, and he certainly does not die alone. We don't live to ourselves, we don't die to ourselves. Hebrews 13, the Lord says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, chapter 5, verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether we wake, whether we live, or whether we die in the flesh, we should live together with him. The blessed psalm that David writes in Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord never leaves his own. He's there with us in and through death. In Luke chapter 1, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the shadow of death, to guide our feet. You know what comfort there is for the Christian. He's blessed. We don't live to ourselves, and we don't die to ourselves. So Paul cries out in the light of that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Oh, we all die, but we don't die alone. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord never leaves his people. Not in life, not in death. And if this brethren that we would judge or disparage or whatever, if he's truly a brethren, you know, he's one of God's. He's being kept by God. You remember, his parents were told, or his mom and stepdad were told, that he was to be called by a certain name. You know, that name that our Lord was known by, Emmanuel, which means God be with us. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, Matthew 1:23, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We don't live alone, we don't die alone. Lord told his church, teaching them to observe all things, whether I have commanded unto you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And old Job, as he contemplated those things and said, I know I'm going to die. And I don't know where all this is leading and why all this is happening, but I do know I'm going to die. Job 19, verse 25, he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And so as Paul had mentioned back there in Philippians, as we noted, where he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we don't live alone and we don't die alone. And that's true of our brethren. That's true of those that we might think we need to straighten out or be in judgment of. And then Paul continues in verse 8, and we'll elaborate upon this next time, but in verse 8 he says, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Now, Paul's, and maybe I'm applying something to him here from my own, but I think Paul sorts, he gets into these, and he kind of follows a little bit of what I sometimes call rabbit trails, you know. The more couth commentators will say, it's, you know, it's a parenthesis. You know, he's still talking about, you know, judging the brother and eating meat or the days, but now he starts talking about living and dying and all these glorious things. Now, he does that under the inspiration of the Spirit. And I do that sometimes, I know not why, but we follow some rabbit trails sometimes. We elaborate upon some things. And Paul gets into that here. So I don't necessarily feel so bad when I do that sometimes. Perhaps at times, at least, it's the Lord's leading. For whether we live unto the Lord. I wonder, sometimes maybe we look at someone else, maybe even a brother, and just wonder, what in the world is the Lord doing with him? You know, what in the world is he here for? You know, what in the world good is he? Oh, maybe you all think that about me from time to time as well. But I'm gonna tell you what, the Lord has a purpose. You know, we all have a purpose, and so we ought to be careful about, you know, judging that brother. Say, he's no earthly good, you know. I don't understand what the Lord's doing with him or what purpose he has. We live, for whether we live unto the Lord. And we'll pick that up next week. And I pray that, you know, it might be manifest that when we live unto the Lord. And you know, we seek to carry out his revealed will. Let's take our hymnals. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 147. Near the Cross, 147.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, near a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star just its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall shadows hoary. And the cross, and the cross be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. And the cross, and the cross be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Heavenly Father, thank thee for this day. Lord, thank thee for the assurance you give us as your children. Lord, for the knowledge that we don't live to ourselves, we don't die to ourselves. Lord, help us to ever be mindful that we indeed do belong to another. Help us to be mindful as well, Lord, that we live out our lives before others. And we're examples, whether we want to be or not. Lord, I pray that we might be positive and godly examples, our children, our grandchildren, our acquaintances. Father, as I mentioned earlier, I thank you, Lord, for this, your church, for this little flock. Lord, I thank you for each one, and each one makes me better. I pray you put your hand upon them, guide them, meet their needs. Well, we know you care about all aspects of our life, and I think in particular the situations that Diane will have to deal with tomorrow, and that you just give her wisdom and peace. Well, we pray for our loved ones that know not Christ, or those that are not walking as they ought, that they might be pleased to accomplish what you alone can. We just thank thee that thou art the sovereign God, that we can safely trust all to your hand. And Lord, help us to realize that part of that trusting is in obeying those things that you've set forth. But thus saith the Lord of Scripture. And Lord, help us to be faithful in those areas. Lord, go with us this coming week. Use us to your glory. Father, we pray that you might bring us back safely together again next week. Lord, in all that we ask and all that we pray and all that we are, it's because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.